you doing? Good to see you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie.
Can I just bring a future citizen here?
Aww.
You did what I suggested. You brought
yes,
them.
But they were not.
How are you? Isabella, nice to meet you. Oh, you hug your sister then.
You did great.
You did a good job, Grandma.
I wonder where he gets his spunk from.
Well, actually, he's probably more in the hall.
So you and I are meeting tomorrow to talk about budgets, right?
Yep.
Are we still having a hearing on the thing, or did it get fixed?
On what?
Did the Mount Tabor one get figured out, or is it?
I think it's settled. The proof is in the pudding.
There it is.
Can we do, is it okay if we do the two last things? And
These two are going to recuse themselves from the table.
Because I wasn't here.
I found Randy. You were here.
Hey, Pete. How are you? Good.
That's not your problem. I'm perfectly sympathetic to that, but you have to tell me.
Okay, we're going to resume city council. If you could take your conversations outside, I would appreciate it. If the commissioners could return to their seats, I would appreciate it. We're going to go to the regular agenda to get pick up those two and then return to the 3:30 time certain.
Okay.
Sorry. But first I have to have some commissioners.
He's one. Here's one.
And go ahead and read item 348.
Okay. 348. Amend the transportation system plan and comprehensive plan to ensure that the documents remain current and to incorporate new policy language.
This is a vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard? Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 349.
Declare opposition to a section of Oregon Senate Bill 560, which would reopen disability claims made under the old fire and police disability and retirement system, which voters overhauled in the November 2006 election, and direct the city attorney to draft amendments to the City of Portland Charter for the November 2007 election.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Currently pending in the Oregon State Legislature is a bill which contains provisions that would apply solely to the City of Portland's fire and police disability system, more commonly known as the FPD in our system. Senate Bill 560 would mandate changes without input from the voters of Portland regarding medical coverage in the FPD in our system. While I do firmly believe the issue of medical coverage in the FPD in our system for injured officers who return to work is one that needs to be addressed, I cannot support, no, I don't think most of the council support provisions in a state legislative bill dictating or preempting how the City of Portland's voters may feel about this subject. We have a long history of opposing issues that preempt local government's prerogatives. This is a local issue. It's an issue which the voters of Portland should decide. and I cannot support the legislature doing an end run around the voters and taxpayers of this city. Thus, this resolution calls on the state legislature to remove the provisions of Senate Bill 560, Sections 2 and 3, which single out the City of Portland's FPDNR system. I do, however, firmly believe that the city needs to address the issues raised in Senate Bill 560. The issue of continuing medical coverage in the FPDNR system is of great significance, both to individual injured officers, to the city, and its return to work efforts. Currently, in the FPDNR system, officers who are injured in the line of duty lose continuing medical coverage for those injuries if they return to work. However, officers who never return to work and remain on disability retain medical coverage for their work-related injury. Obviously, this creates a disincentive for many injured officers to return to work and appears fundamentally unfair to injured police officers and firefighters. And I believe that fixing this inequity is the right thing to do. Simply said, Senate Bill 560 is the wrong way to do it. I believe the council should immediately begin to work with the police, fire, and commanding officers associations to craft language to refer charter changes to the voters in the November 2007 election. And I, in addition, believe that in crafting that language, we should respect the will of the voters when they overhauled the FPDNR disability system last year and commit to not reopening claims made under the old FPDNR system. That's an issue from my particular opinion. I know Commissioner Leonard's going to offer a substitute resolution, which I will support, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Thank you. I would move to substitute resolution that was just distributed for the one Commissioner Saltzman proposed.
Here's a bunch of copies right here.
Does the city attorney have one?
I'm not sure. Probably not. This is hot off the presses, probably an hour and 20 minutes ago. As Mr. Commissioner Saltzman indicated, this is a resolution that I think will have the unanimous support of the council. But I do think it's important in the light of some of Commissioner Saltzman's remarks to frame this issue so that there's a better understanding of how we got here. Commissioner Saltzman has acknowledged for some time that this was an issue that needed to be addressed. And I appreciate that. But after I learned about this amendment last week, based on an inquiry from the Oregonian and began asking, I also learned that there had been some maybe misunderstandings between Commissioner Saltzman and the firefighters and police officers of Portland relative to the timetable of when this would be resolved. And based on what it felt like, according to those that I talked to, was some inaction. They felt they had no choice but to go to this legislative session and ask that the legislature consider the issue of whether injured officers and firefighters should have medical care for injuries sustained on the job. And the result is where we are today, which I think is a good place to be, that we have, as different offices discussed this issue in the past week, and come up with language, as I indicated, literally up to just before this council hearing. Shannon O'Callaghan from Commissioner Saltzman's office was gracious enough to put together all of our various ideas into this one document. And I think this represents a resolution that we can all support. And the difference, the only significant change is that as opposed to the original resolution Commissioner Saltzman introduced, which prescribed a specific resolution, this resolution asked that this task force go off, do its work, bring back the recommendations to the council, and then at that time, the council can debate the nuances of what they recommend to us and can agree, modify, or reject based on what we think at that time. Thank you.
So, yeah, I would say that, you know, I support this resolution because it does, I think, the several items. First, it does unequivocally put the City Council in opposition to Senate Bill 560, Sections 2 and 3, and authorizes our government relations folks to follow those instructions accordingly in Salem. Second, it does commit to getting changes on the November 2007 ballot. It does so by creating a committee whose composition is mentioned here in the resolution, and that committee is charged to come back to council by May 31st with its recommendations. So it contains everything in there that I wanted to see, and I think it's, as I said, you know, we may disagree at what the committee recommends. As I just stated a second ago, you know, I believe we should respect the will of the voters and make it retroactive or not reopen claims that are older than January 1st of 2007, which was the effective date of the overhaul of the FPD in our system. And I state that potentially because there's a significant liability to taxpayers broadening that decision. And secondly, under the old system, I think all of us recall that you know, the claims approval rate for disability was upwards of 99%. But having said that, that's my own personal beliefs, and I want to see this process work. In one way or the other, you know, those beliefs or other beliefs will be brought out as we put a product on the November ballot. Great.
Further discussion? We'll vote on the amendment.
Testimony. Ed Hall.
I thought we were going to vote on the amendment so they would know what they were testifying on.
Well, do you want to take the testimony before we bring in the substitute?
Well, I think they should know what they're voting on with the amendment. It'll be a very specific thing that they can discuss. So let's take the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please call. How many folks are signed up to
just
testify?
Just one. Ed Hall. Okay.
Thanks for being here, Mr. Hall.
You're very welcome. Good afternoon. Ed Hall, Portland Firefighters Association. And make my remarks pretty brief, but and stand by for any questions that you might have. But first off, I'm happy that this is going to be referred. The men and women of the Portland Firefighters Association have always been behind the idea that this would be referred to the people of Portland. The history behind this, where it brings us today, as I think most of you remember, started well before last November of 07. This issue was identified before that time. These questions were raised. There was no end run attempt. Like I say, the men and women of the Portland Firefighters Association are honorable public servants. They respect the people of Portland, and they enjoy serving those people of Portland. But we waited through November, nothing. Through the winter time, nothing came to May. And like I say, you know, there are things that needed to happen. There are people who are out there who are being ill affected by this, and it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed sooner than later. And so November is the date. We're happy to have it out there. We're supportive of that, and we're supportive of the language being removed from Senate Bill 560 as it pertains to medical equivalency toward the City of Portland's Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. So if you have questions for clarifications or anything, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Discussion? Call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I'm a strong proponent, have been a strong proponent of reforms, common sense reforms to FPD&R, but I think that this work group is consistent with that. At no time did I seek to unintentionally, nor do I think did the city ever seek to support an unintentional cause of loss of medical benefits for firefighters or police officers who return to work. So I think that this work group is really important, and I look forward to considering their work when it's brought forward to us by the May 31st deadline. I want to thank you for bringing this forward, both of you, and aye.
Leonard?
And I second all those remarks, but I do need to point out Shannon's work on this, because I'm short-staffed in my office right now. We find ourselves trying to do too many things at once, and she stepped in and helped bring this together. Thanks very much, Shannon. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I, too, want to thank Shannon Callahan for her deft work on this issue, both in getting the charter reforms approved in 2006 or getting them drafted. But I also know that this work group does call for members of council offices, so we expect all five of us to have a role in this. Aye.
Stan.
Well, we had no choice but to have a role, and thanks to my team for helping on this. I think it's in good spirit that Commissioner Saltzman does. I do think it's dangerous to get too deep into to guessing what the voters wanted and didn't want. I really think if it was advertised, which the firefighters and police, who have pretty high popularity ratings, chose not to do very explicitly, that if a person with a bad back was required to go back and do desk work, they would lose lifetime coverage of that bad back. I'm not so sure it would have passed as easily as it did. And my recollection of the conversations are that the firefighters and police said, which I agreed with, let's get the reform passed and then fix this after. And so I think that's where we are today. I think we do need to fix it. I think this is potentially a major league flaw in the disability system, because if we require people to do work that they can do with existing disabilities, but then they lose the ongoing disability coverage, they're going to do the natural thing and fight the placement. And once they start fighting the placement, now you're into a situation where we're not working together to reform something. We're in an adversarial situation, and things start, you know, going to court. And I think there are some contractual issues on this. So I think, you know, the fact that everyone's come together and that Commissioner Saltzman, you can help figure this out, is terrific. I don't think it was bad faith on either side. In fact, I think that I remember this being pointed out every step of the way, and the concern being it's when we were doing the work last year, that it was a tricky issue. Now, unfortunately, it's not any less tricky issue, and we've given ourselves, whatever it is, 59 days to figure it out. But I think sometimes there's nothing like a deadline to get something done, and I will look forward to coming up with something that hopefully everybody can support and we can unanimously send out to the voters. And if we can't get there, at least something that we can get to the voters and get the position resolved. So I appreciate everybody's efforts, and we are on our way to a much better system that's much more accountable, and it's a good feeling. Aye.
Potter.
Echo the sentiments of the commissioners. I vote aye. Are you folks leaving? Can we just hear the reading and then have you?
Oh, is that how it works?
Officially excused. Yes, just for a few minutes. Okay, please read the 3:30 time, sir.
Appeal of Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association against the hearing officer's decision to approve the application of Alex Banks, Twyman and Banks LLC, for a zoning map amendment from R5 to R2.5 in conformance with the comprehensive plan designation, 8-lot subdivision, plan development and adjustment at 2251 Southeast 76th Avenue, LU06121502ZC LDS PDAD.
Before we begin the proceeding, both Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Adams were not at the other meetings and are going to be recusing themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Staff?
Thank you. My name is Stephanie Beckman. I'm a city planner with the Bureau of Development Services. And this is a continued hearing from March 22nd. So we'll be continuing the consideration of the appeal, as was just read. I'm going to go through some just basics as to where we are today and give you an update, as well as present some findings. Again, the appellant was the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association, applicant Alex Banks with Twyman & Banks, LLC. As I said before, this is a continued hearing to essentially on March 22nd, the applicant and appellant presented a preliminary agreement to address some of their major concerns and got preliminary direction from council accepting that agreement. There was a continued hearing to allow them to finalize the agreement and come back today to see if findings were ready to be adopted. My understanding is that has occurred. The Neighborhood Association did provide a letter that should have been included with the council packet distributed yesterday that indicated their agreement with changes to the proposal, and I'll go through what those are in just a minute. There is one other party that also submitted a letter that wasn't necessarily in agreement with the changes and asked for additional conditions, and I'll go into that as well. I'm going to go through a few slides just to remind you what we're talking about here. First, the hearings officer approved a zoning map amendment to convert the site from the existing R5 zoning to R2.5 zoning that was in conformance with the comprehensive plan designation for the site, divide the site to create 8 lots for attached houses, a plan development review for specific building designs with modifications to narrow lot standards and side setbacks on 2 lots, and then an adjustment to tree preservation requirements to allow removal of the 1 non-exempt tree on the site. This shows the proposed zoning on the site of the R2.5. You'll also notice where the site is located, about a little over 300 feet north of Southeast Division. It's got frontage on both Southeast 76th and 75th. You can see 75th is kind of a narrow roadway on the west side. Also important to note is that Southeast Sherman terminates at 75th at the southern portion of the site. This is a site plan showing what was proposed and approved by the hearings officer. Again, there are 8 lots, 4 fronting on 76th and 4 fronting on 75th. There is a 7.5-foot dedication for a public pedestrian connection on the north side of the site. That was one of the main concerns that was brought forward in the appeal. Other issues that were brought forward were the number of units proposed, and the agreement between the applicant and the neighborhood asked that 1 lot be eliminated on the 75th side, so there would only be 3 units facing 75th, and also that the pedestrian connection on the north side be eliminated. Both of these changes would allow some of the other issues to be addressed, including allowing more on-street parking, as well as opportunities to preserve trees on the north side of the site, which would otherwise need to be removed due to the pedestrian path being installed. This is a grading plan which shows the trees in question. There was an adjustment approved to allow removal of tree number 1, which was the only non-exempt tree on the site. The trees along the property line were exempt from the regulations. However, council provided some direction that with elimination of the path, they would like to do that in order to save those trees. As I mentioned earlier, the Neighborhood Association and applicant have reached an agreement to address the main areas of concern, which included the number of units proposed, parking impacts, and the location of the pedestrian connection. I've provided findings that are consistent with the agreement and preliminary council direction, and those were distributed yesterday to council as well as to all the parties in question. Those findings would uphold the hearings officer decision and make the following modifications, and those were also laid out in a memo that you would have received, but I'm just going to run through them real quickly now. They acknowledge the reduction in the number of lots from 8 to 7, with 3 fronting on Southeast 75th. They include findings to eliminate the public pedestrian connection on the north side of the site based on the necessary offset from the existing street alignment with Southeast Sherman, the terrain on the site with significant slopes, and impact on trees on the north property line. A condition is also added to vacate a prior 1-foot dedication along the north side of the site that was done in anticipation of that pedestrian connection being located there. Additional findings were also added regarding parking impacts, reflecting the increased on-site on-street parking that would be allowed with these changes. And conditions are added to ensure that the final design will result in on-street parking on Southeast 75th. That requires a little bit more dedication to the street as well as a driveway design that would ensure that an actual parking space would be provided. There are also some findings and conditions related to additional tree protection measures for trees located on the north side of the site. As I mentioned earlier, the neighbor to the north did still have some concerns and submitted a letter requesting additional conditions for assessment and protection of trees on his property. The findings provided do address this issue, but don't recommend any additional conditions. It's important to note that the zoning code doesn't normally regulate trees on an adjacent property. That's generally something that's left as a civil issue between property owners to work out outside of the land use process. In this case, there are approval criteria under the plan development or adjustment that could provide an opportunity for council to add additional requirements based on impacts to neighboring properties. However, based on the information in the record, the location of the trees, and lack of any information saying that they actually will be impacted, additional conditions related to that aren't recommended at this point. And those are also included in the council findings on pages 26 and 27. There was an additional letter provided today from the adjacent neighbor, which asked for some fairly minor modifications to some of the conditions. Dated April 5th from Carrie Richter, who's the representative for the adjacent neighbor. And I just wanted to address that quickly. The conditions are B9 and 10, and there's underlined text where that was requested. I believe you should have a copy of that passed out today. This party's asking for some changes to ask that the applicant be required to provide revised plans and the arborist report to the neighbor and the neighborhood association 10 days prior to submitting it to the city. I don't really have any major issues with that. You may want to hear from the applicant if they have concerns. I don't think it's necessary because this information will be part of the public record, and there is a notice sent out when the final plat is submitted. So they would have the opportunity to come in and view the file and see all of the information. I would recommend that if you are inclined to include language like this, that you perhaps remove the requirement to provide it at least 10 days ahead, because that's something that's difficult to enforce, and maybe just require that they provide the information to the neighbor as requested. The other changes that were requested was the condition basically lays out that the applicant would provide an arborist report and tree preservation plan prior to final plat approval for review and approval by the city. And it includes protection measures that could be included. And this was, the idea was to provide some sort of parameters which might be requested to preserve these trees, but that would be laid out by a qualified professional such as an arborist. So the sentence reads, protection measures could include but are not limited to arborist supervision, excavation by hand or air spade, special foundations, and therapeutic care. And she was requesting that it be changed to must include, and I'd like to request that that should remain as could, and that a qualified professional would make that determination. As I mentioned earlier, there was some preliminary direction from council at the last hearing, although there weren't any final decisions made. So the alternatives facing council still remain to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer decision as originally issued, to uphold the hearings officer decision with modifications, or to overturn the hearings officer decision. The findings presented today could be adopted, and I believe that would resolve the matter. If you would like significant changes, then we would need to come back for adoption of findings. And that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions.
No. Any questions?
Did you, on the arborist, you said there will, under the current conditions, there would be an arborist report?
Yes. The what's written here, Ms. Richter has basically written out the language in the proposed council conditions and has added, the underline is what, and strike through is what she has added and is recommending. So the arborist report and tree preservation plan would be required. Basically, what they're requesting is that a copy of those plans be provided to the neighbor and the neighborhood association, essentially just to give them a chance to review it and, I guess, comment before those would be submitted to the city.
Well, Stephanie or Mayor, this is really good, and I'm totally happy to hear testimony from both sides. If before we do that, I was going to suggest that I would be comfortable going with the staff recommendations with, and I'd be glad to hear if people don't agree with this, with the, adding the conditions that are requested with the changes that Stephanie recommended on the 10 days and the could. I don't think we can enforce the 10 days, and I wish we were lightning quick, but you'll have plenty of time to review them if they're provided at the same time that we get them. So I think that's fair, and I think the could is probably a better word. So I would throw that out as a suggestion, and maybe if that works, save both sides sort of having to make their case for or against. But feel free to come up and testify. I just wanted to throw that out as a starting point, not to dampen the testimony.
Thank you. Would the appellant like to come forward first and respond to Commissioner Sten's recommendation?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Carrie Richter. I'm an attorney at Garvey Schubert Bear. I represent Lee Schneiderman, the property owner directly north of the subject property. I would like to just thank Commissioner Sten for acknowledging the need for notice, because nobody has seen this 7-lot plan yet. Nobody knows what it's going to look like, and nobody's seen a landscape plan. The applicant did not submit a landscape plan identifying any protection measures as required by the code. So we'd like to have an opportunity to participate in that. And I realize the city does send out a little card that says the final plat has been submitted, but that oftentimes goes overlooked, and I don't know when this is going to happen. So I think that's important. I just want to reiterate for the record that the record does contain identification of the trees and where they are located on the property, and there are photographs of these trees and their size. And there isn't an arborist report in the record. Staff is correct on where the roots extend on these properties, but I'd like to implore the applicant to do everything he can, because these are huge trees. And I was reflecting upon that when I looked up there and saw those trees. They are huge trees, and they deserve protection, because the council has decided that the trees deserve protection more than the path. And if you're going to lose the path and keep the trees, we got to keep the trees and not come in after the fact and say, sorry, the trees went down. So that's all I have. I thank the council for their time.
Thank you. Mount Tabor?
Mayor and council, Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association, Dave Hiltz, Land Use Chair. We've worked with the developer and the neighbor, and we've come to this agreement. We feel good about it. In the spirit of collaboration, I'm sure that we'll get a chance to review the site plan, and I'm not unconcerned with having it something slip through without our knowledge. And I've already received a preliminary site plan from the developer, which shows the reconfiguration from 4 to 3 on the 75th Street side. And I'd also like to thank the mayor and council for taking the time to actually consider this single lot issue in our neighborhood. But with the upcoming revisiting of the comp plan and zoning code that is underway, this is one of the issues that we've been up against with infill development in our neighborhood that is out of context with our neighborhood. And so I think this is a good compromise, and I'd like to see more developments like this in our neighborhood that take place in a collaborative way where the actual developer and the neighborhood speak to each other instead of don't talk to each other and then appeal to council. So thank you very much.
Folks, Twyman and Banks.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the council. I don't really have anything to add other than, you know, I think Commissioner Sten, your suggestions are fine. As everyone has said, we've come to an agreement, and I think we're okay with that. We've never intended to withhold information from the neighbor or the neighborhood association. As I had said in the last meeting, we went to the neighborhood association voluntarily at the very beginning of our process and went to them again. And so we have no issue with sharing the information. I would just like to maybe understand a little bit better about what the implications of sharing that information would be. And if, for example, something isn't agreeable to the neighborhood, to the neighbor, what say do they have beyond this to impact the development further? In other words, I'm kind of trying to draw a line. Are we done? I don't know if someone can answer that for me.
Anybody in staff?
Stephanie Beckman, Bureau of Development Services. My understanding is that it would just be a requirement to provide the information, and then we would be measuring, we would be reviewing that information, and of course we always allow someone to provide comments and input on it, but we aren't going to be reopening the application at that point. We are going to be looking for the information provided and make sure that it looks like it's still in substantial conformance with what was originally submitted. And we would use one of the elements to the condition about the tree protection was to involve the city forester in any issue where one of the trees actually needs to be removed, that the city forester would have to review that information and be in agreement that that was a necessary course of action.
Does that answer your question, yes, sir? Okay, thank you.
Believe so. Any questions?
Good luck. Right.
Thank you.
Looks like a good development.
Do we have to actually amend?
You should amend the findings to incorporate the changes suggested by Commissioner Sten.
I would move we do what I outlined earlier.
Do we have that down on paper? Inform? Yeah.
Well, we have this Stephanie letter here.
For her.
We have the substance of it, and we can incorporate that.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, good.
Second.
Call the vote.
Seltzman?
Good work on everybody's sides. I'm very pleased to learn more about your development company. Sounds like you have very good principles, and really pleased to hear that. Aye.
Sten.
Well, it was a little rocky getting here, but this is the way it should work, and I think it's a better development, and we were able to maybe interpret things just a little bit, but primarily you were able to work with our staff and come to a good agreement. So congratulations and thank you. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Now, do I have to ask for a motion to accept the hearings officers with council modifications?
Actually, to adopt the council findings as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Call the vote.
Seltzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. We are adjourned until next week. Oop, not yet.
Mayor Potter, members of council, Kurt Kruger, Office of Transportation, I apologize. There's one minor nuance that's still remaining, and I'm going to ask the council to make a motion and direct transportation to proceed with a city council-initiated street vacation to remove the 1 foot that has been dedicated. We're going to work expeditiously to move this as quickly as possible in the next couple months.
Do I hear
so moved?
Second.
Call the vote.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thanks for letting us know, Kurt. Now we're adjourned.
Unless anybody else wants to slip in something.
Thank you.
Welcome.